Hey there, thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, embodiment educator, and your host. Embodied Astrology is much more than a podcast. We are a thriving virtual community offering regular weekly and monthly classes, study groups, and more, exploring the intersections of astrology, creativity, arts, healing, and social change. Aries season has arrived, the astrological new year has begun, and we are headed into eclipse season and a Mercury retrograde. At this point in 2024, things are really starting to heat up. And as we look towards what's forecasted to be another hottest year on record, I'm guessing that many of you are ready for the kinds of changes that are bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. And you might be looking for ways to join forces with others who want to create futures on Earth that are vibrant, creative, and courageously committed to visions of reciprocity, reparation, and recalibration of values and power. At Embodied Astrology, we've been preparing to meet this moment. Beginning the weekend of March 23rd, we're launching a year of experimental programming that's geared towards shaping strategies for the future and crafting containers for new experiences of what community can feel like. Join us for a journey of experiential astrology, where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, and work with astrology to support your artistic and creative practices, navigate through conflict transformation and repair, reawaken your relationships to Earth and the cosmos, and take part in exciting and inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, your horoscopes. You're about to listen to your Aries season ahead reading, which is an excerpt from my 2024 year ahead readings. The 2024 readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. They offer an abundance of information and support to help you make the most of what this year is bringing. You can download your full-length reading today from the link in the show notes or find them in the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. Okay, Aries, we have made it to you. Happy Aries season. Happy birthday if you're an Aries sun. Happy new solar year to your other Aries placements. If you're listening from another season and it's not Aries season, I'm going to say, Aries, why not just celebrate your renewal all year in 2024? This is a year that is about renewal for you. Astrologically, several symbols agree. The North Node being first and foremost amongst them. So the North Node is one of the eclipse points. The North and the South Node describe the ascending and descending points of the moon in its orbit around the Earth. And the North Node and the South Node precess. That means that they travel backwards through the zodiac or opposite to planetary motion. And every year and a half or so, they enter different signs, different polarities of signs. So right now the North Node is in Aries and the South Node is in Libra. And that means that we have had eclipses in Aries and Libra in season for about a year now. And in 2024, in September, we're going to have our first eclipse in the Pisces-Virgo axis. But as we come into Aries season, we are still in the Aries-Libra eclipses, and that means it's eclipse season. The day before Aries season begins, Mercury in Aries right now makes contact with the North Node. And the North Node, many astrologers will speak about as a point of fate. The way that I understand this particular idea or iteration of fate is as consequence. We might also say cause and effect, and some people like the term karma. Karma is a word that in English is appropriated. The origin of the word comes from Vedic philosophy and Buddhist philosophy. There's a lot more than I'm going to offer in this particular moment, but karma is residual. It collects and accumulates across lifetimes. There's an idea that, you know, your soul or your energy body has its own karma. And there are also ideas that we are products of history. Each of us in our human bodies are archives of history. We hold epigenetics in our DNA, or our DNA and our epigenetics bring us into conditioning of our past, of the past. And that could be the kind of collective past as well as the individual past, the biographical or the familial past. But the past creates the present moment. And in the present moment, things can change. And things cannot change. And so the idea of karma is then that there are moments when karma ripens, when a pattern becomes strengthened to a point that it may also break, because strengths can be weaknesses. And when something is very, very strong, sometimes it's become overbearing and is actually near a point of breaking. And when things become very, very weak, we may not have noticed for a while, but then at a point of breaking, we may realize that there needs to be efforts to fortify or rebuild or something like that. And so eclipse seasons are periods of time when the weight of karma starts to hang on the threads of karma. Let's say it like that. It's like experience is ripening. The past is catching up with the present. And here is an opportunity to notice the patterns and evolve inside of them, to make choices for our own evolution with them. And that doesn't mean liberation in the sense that we're going to get away from the pattern entirely, but it could mean liberation in the sense that we awaken to our complicitness, you know, with it, and then we stop doing it and we get free of something. My experience with eclipses is that there are often opportunities to get free, especially when the North Node is in your sign, because the North Node is the point of evolution. It is the point of awakening. It is a symbolic mouth of the dragon, and the dragon is hungry. It is devouring life. It wants a new experience. And the North Node is the mouth. It is the devouring. So as we enter into Aries season, the mind and the mouth are together. Mercury has just conjoined the North Node. Mercury is also conjunct with the centaur planet Chiron. And Chiron speaks to intergenerational wounding and healing journeys and patterns. And when Chiron is in Aries, I think we have an opportunity to really tune in with the intergenerational wounding and healing of the Aries archetype. And Aries is associated with the head, with the individual and individuated, differentiated self, with self-actualizing. It is associated mythically and symbolically with heroes and heroic types, hence the individualist kind of flavor. It's also associated, surprise, surprise, at least in our current mythological cosmosphere, with masculinity and with a hyper-masculinity or machismo, you know, the conquering heroic type. Aries in our bodies is associated with the head, and particularly the frontal lobe, the eyes and the forehead, the way that the gaze gets hard and fixed when we are really directive and we're going out there to try and get what we want, which is an Aries function to move us in the direction of surviving and living in a vital way. This can often be connected to our desire bodies. Aries is ruled by Mars. Mars is connected with the bodily reflexes and regenerative capacities and functions, as well as adrenaline and the muscular system and the arterial pumping blood. So, Aries as an energy in its intergenerational wounding and healing, what comes up for you? For me, there's like misuse of strength, misuse of power, toxic individualism, toxic masculinity, the delusion of like the individual hero, and the need to both be heroic in the ways that we actualize inside of ourselves, like really be the heroes kind of like our own hearts, like live for the truth. But then there's an intergenerational wound pattern. And so we also have like violence and oppression and assertion of control and people thinking that they know what's better for you in your own body and your own life than you do. And so then we have conflict with Aries. The outer planet Eris is also in Aries right now. Eris has been here for a long time. I don't remember the year that Eris entered Aries, but I feel like it was in the early 20th century. Eris is a personification in Greek mythology of strife and discord. I think of Eris often as recognition that we live in a world and society where not everybody has had their voice honored and their perspective given space at the proverbial table. And when people don't feel respected, honored, listened to, they feel upset and they are willing to fuck some shit up, especially if who's not listening, honoring, and respecting them is imposing rules upon their body or, you know, taking their land or homeland or disrupting their family life, hurting them, killing them, etc. I really feel Eris, you know, like if you read Greek mythology, you'll read about Eris as like a destructive destroyer, strife bringing discord to the status quo, to the patriarchy, to the like pantheon of Greek gods. And that's for sure. I mean, I think in the symbolism of Aries season right now, what we can feel on planet Earth, like we can feel that the powers that be have not taken care of the people. And so there's discord and strife amongst people. And this discord and strife is tearing us apart. It's tearing apart the fabric of life itself. And we're at each other's throats. You know, people are killing people, killing the planet. And scarcity breeds discord and strife. So there's all that. But then I also read Eris as righteous rage. And this is my opinion. Take it or leave it. But the energy of uprising and the feeling of like, I'm going to smash this shit to the ground. I'm going to fucking burn it because it was never here for me anyway. It was never here for me anyway. Like it was never made to support me. It was never made to witness my body, to attend to my needs, to take care of my family. It was always bullshit. It was always harmful. I could play the game of trying to win at this and make it good for me, but it's not good for so many people. It hasn't been good for me. Fuck it. Like burn it to the ground. I read Eris that way. So we enter into Aries season and all this is here, right? Mercury, the North Node, Chiron, Eris, and now the Sun, and you're in Aries. And we have eclipses coming up. So we have an eclipse on March 25th in your opposite sign, Libra. That's a lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse really helps us tune in with emotional patterns. Libra, as your opposite sign, is signifying relationships. And in specific here, we have one-on-one relationships. And because especially the South Node is in Libra right now, I really want to ask you, what are the agreements and relationships that are untenable now? You may have made them in the past with good faith. You may have made them in the past with complete unconsciousness. I don't know. Probably both and everything in between. But for some reason, they has got to go. They don't work anymore. You cannot abide with these types of agreements. These agreements may be subtle and implicit. You might have a long-standing agreement with yourself to be in relationship in ways with people in general that you don't want to abide by anymore. You might have contracts in specific relationships about, you know, you do this and I'll do that, or this is your role and this is my role. I owe you this, you owe me that. You don't want to do that anymore. There may be relationships themselves that need to significantly change or end. You might have partners around this time who are significantly changing or needing to end something. It may be about you. It may not be about you, but it's affecting you somehow. Aries, this is an eclipse that is asking us to feel into the power of transmission. The power of transmission in relationship. 70% of our communication is nonverbal. It is energetic. If you want to be done with something, be done with it. Don't fight it in your mind. Don't like get all hot and bothered, but stay gripped and grasping and grappling with it. Be done with it. What can help you? Visualization can help you be done with it. Noticing your relational somatic body can really help you be done with it. The power of your mind to awaken to your habits right now is strong. So use that power. If you want to be done with something, be done with something. It's not about the other person. You can't control them. If they think whatever it is that they're thinking, if they're doing whatever it is that they're doing, if they're behaving in the ways that they're behaving, you can't control them. You have to know what you know for yourself. You have to be true to your own spirit. If you're getting information about a situation, any kind of relational agreement, or in terms of your own implicit agreements about how you are with people, maybe certain kinds of people, maybe specific kinds of relationships, it could feel more subtle. It's not about fighting somebody else to get them to change. It is about doing the work that you need to do for you to uphold your own dignity and to know what you're here for and know what you're not here for. And the caution for you right now, you don't need to hate anybody. I'll say that. You don't need to other. You don't need to separate yourself violently. Unless you do. Sometimes people are in situations and they need to separate themselves violently. So I just really want to honor that. Sometimes people need to separate themselves violently. If somebody is being violent with you and that's what's coming up for you right now and you are done with that, my hope for you is that you don't engage and don't have to engage with violence. But sometimes if somebody is killing you, if they're fucking, you know, I'm not about to be out here saying that everybody needs to be nonviolent, especially people who are being oppressed. And that isn't to say that we don't need to cultivate discernment. That isn't to say that we don't need to evolve and awaken. And that certainly is not to say that we don't need to recognize the seeds of violence in all of us, in all of our subjugated identities and oppressed experiences. The seeds of violence are still there. Let's not perpetuate it. So if someone is being violent with you, do what you need to do to go somewhere else and then go heal and focus on your healing in whatever ways you possibly can. If that's an option. If that's not an option, then you might need to be here for the fight. But even in the fight, Aries, even in the fight, you do not have to lose your self-respect and dignity by filling the vessel of your sacred space and your body with the same substance that creates the suffering that you're fighting against. You do not have to hate. You do not have to degrade people to anything less than sacred. You do not have to harbor hostility in your body and in your heart and in your mind. And this is a time to really practice that. So visualization can be very helpful right now. And I want to offer a resource that I've been so grateful to be able to work with over the past several years that I learned from Resma Manicum. If you haven't encountered his work, definitely check him out. He has his own website, R-E-S-M-A-A-M, oh gosh, I think it's M-A-N-E-K-A-M. I could have my A's and my E's mixed up, but if you Google something like that, you'll definitely find him. He's the author of a book called My Grandmother's Hands, which is a quite well-known book. He's also written some other books. But I first learned this technique in my grandmother's hands. And since, through working with him, because he leads groups. And so if you're interested in doing abolition, somatic abolition work around anti-racism, that means abolishing somatically, like in our bodies, what the cultural trauma of racism has done to bodies in general, this is a great place to be. So VIMBASI is an acronym, V like Victor, or V for vibes, I for images, M for meaning making, B for behavior, A for affect, S for sensation, I for imagination. If somebody's getting under your skin, or if you want to change something, if you know that you're done with something and you're ready for something new, if you come across a situation that is riling you up or producing the need to focus on your needs to change, like whatever, if you feel charged or activated at all, use this technique. It's really powerful. And go through the acronym. What's the vibe? Like the energy, what's happening in the space energetically, right? Images, what's coming to your mind? Then what meaning are you making? The vibe and images, a lot of times, are our first impressions of things, right? Immediately, then our minds start telling stories. What's the meaning that you're making? Then what behavior gets produced? Who do you become? What is the emotional affect of that becoming, right? Like what's exuding out of you energetically, emotionally? What are the sensations in your body as this is happening? Be with all of that. Really allow yourself to feel it. And then consider the I as an opportunity to imagine what would happen if you don't change anything at all, but if all of these vibes, images, meaning, making, behaviors, affects, sensations are allowed to just produce what they're going to produce. Is that the thing that you want? Do you want something else? If you want something else, what is it? Imagine. What could it be? And then from that point of imagination, work backwards. What needs to shift? Sensations in your body might need to be tended to, right? We might need to like breathe with something, feel something, stretch something, move it on out of the joints. There might be soothing that needs to happen or a discharge of some kind. The emotional affect is something that we can regulate. We can work with ourselves. One of the best ways to work with ourselves emotionally is to validate that we're having an emotion, especially for fire signs, okay? Like you're an Aries. You sometimes like don't even realize that you're having an emotion. And that's the thing. Like you're having an experience, but it's like, oh no, you're having a feeling. Let the feelings come and go. The feelings can be real. They can be attended to and they can also change. When we become aware of our own affect, it's like, oh, you know what? Feelings actually make a space. Feelings get transmitted between people. Tune in with your behaviors. Is that how you want to be acting? What happens in your meaning making? You know, does your partner do a thing and it drives you up the fucking wall and then the eclipses come and you're like, I can't deal with it anymore. But it's like your partner is just being themselves. And the meaning that you're making is they're being like that just to piss you off. I think that about my partner all the time. I don't know about you. I'm like, oh my God, why are you like that? Why do you hate me so much that you just insist on being like that? Then I have to work on myself, you know, because it's like people are different. They have different things going on. The meaning that you're making might be wildly off of like the point of whatever the meaning making that's happening with your partner. Aries. Okay. 2 weeks after the March 25th eclipse, we have the eclipse in your sign. So April 8th, we have a total solar eclipse in Aries at 19 degrees. If your Aries placements are near 19 degrees, take note. If you live in the North American region, as it's called, are you going to go watch the eclipse? Maybe, but maybe better just to stay inside. This feels like a bloody eclipse. It feels like a lot of Aries energy getting really activated. And just so think about all those Aries keywords and then feel into, what do we want to do with astrology? How can we work with this energy and evolve inside of it and let it produce and uplift the best that we have to give? And I'm going to say this period of time between eclipses, March 25th through April 8th, is a period of time that you can use best for your own healing. And this means your autonomous sovereign authority needs to come online. It is not anybody else's job to validate you. It's nothing that they can actually give you, and it's nothing that you fucking need, okay? Like, you don't need the validation of your parents, you don't need the validation of your partners, you don't need the validation of your boss, you don't need the validation of any of it. You don't need the validation of your friend groups. You need the validation of your own spirit. You need to know that you are not abandoning yourself. You need the validation of your soul and your heart. You need to know that you are in integrity with your sovereignty. And that means that no matter what somebody else is doing, how they're saying it, you can stand in your dignity. Resma Manicum talks about having a fortified mindset, thick skin, and a soft and malleable heart. When I feel that in myself, I get really inspired. And it makes me think about another great teacher, Krishnamurti. And I remember in one of his books reading how he's talking about all harm comes from insecurity. All the harm that we do to ourselves, to one another, and to the earth comes from insecurity. It comes from a basic lack of feeling secure. You know, insecurity that we don't have what we need, that we don't have what we want, that we're not special, blah, blah, blah. And he was talking about, you know, life is insecure. Terrestrial earthly life is fraught with peril. Even if you're super privileged, it's like there's always danger lurking. And people who are not super privileged, who have to live with peril a lot, are often some of the most dignified people out there, you know, because it's like they live their whole lives being confronted by society that doesn't have a place for them or whatever, you know, and it's like they have to make their own place. And if you live in a body that has been subjugated or marginalized or oppressed, then you know how it is to really root in and find your own dignity and to feel like, you know what, I don't care what whoever says about whatever, like, I know what my own choice, what my own truth is. That's the vibe for Aries season in my read.
Astrology, like many things in our world, is a system that has been shaped and distorted by patriarchy, white supremacy, and colonial imperialism. But we're lucky to be alive at a time when this language is evolving rapidly and providing healing, insight, and support for so many people. Astro's current revolution is due to the scholarship and praxis of philosophers, mystics, and oracles who pushed and continue to push against the way things have been written, orienting instead to radical, queer, and creative potentials of this craft. Embodied astrology is firmly rooted in a lineage of evolutionary expansion and ancestral repair. Our teaching team and community center queer and diverse approaches to working with symbolism and engaging astral mechanics and magic. If this sounds like something you're looking for, we hope that you'll join us for the launch of our new program the weekend of March 23rd and 24th. We start on Saturday, March 23rd, with a council session led by Sherry Taylor on the Femme Faces of Saturn. Sherry is a clinical psychologist, death doula, grief mentor, and practitioner of planetary allyship. This is her second year teaching with embodied astrology, and she's continuing in 2024 to deepen with the mystery school of Saturn's transit in Pisces. This special session sets the tone for a devotional cycle with Saturn and mythic mysteries of bone mothers and tenders of time. Drop in once and receive an initiation into your own practice, along with a workbook full of prompts and exercises. Or sign up for the whole series and commit to a journey that will reshape your understanding of how to work with this important energy of obstacles and integration. Sunday, March 24th, Embodied Astrology is delighted to welcome back acclaimed author, playwright, and artist astrologer Junauda Petrus for her third year teaching with us. In 2024, by popular demand, Junauda will be expanding her artistic alchemy offerings from quarterly workshops to a monthly series. Join us every month near the full moon for a sweet and soulful gathering where we'll work with the transiting lunar solar axis in our charts and in our hearts. We'll reflect on how we show up for ourselves, our creative devotions, and the realities of surviving in a world that is filled with both beauty and uncertainty. In these sessions, we'll practice staying grounded with the rhythms of astrology and spirit, channeling the wisdom of cosmic alignment, and opening to celestial guidance from ancestors as support for balancing creative life in the real world. You can always drop in to one of Junauda's monthly gatherings or sign up for the whole year and get access to a virtual communion space where you can connect with other creatively minded seekers. All of our offerings are recorded for those who can't attend live. Embodied Astrology is committed to financial accessibility. You can find scholarship codes right on our checkout pages for sliding scale, and you can always write to us for more support if finances are a barrier. Click the link in our show notes or head to embodiedastrology.com to learn more and sign up. Now, in this window between eclipses, guess what? We've got a Mercury retrograde coming at you in your sign. So April 1st through April 25th, Mercury will retrograde from 27 to 15 degrees of Aries. If you know your natal placements, take notes. Take note. On the 4th of April, right in the middle of this, the Sun will make its exact conjunction to the North Node. This is a really potent and powerful time for you, Aries. You are letting go rapidly of the old ideas. In your 2024 overview, in the channeled reading that I gave you, we talked a lot about this. Death doula-ing, birth doula-ing. You are in the portal in Aries season. It's like, whoa, old you is transforming. New you is arriving. It is a sight to behold. If you feel like you have no idea what's going on during this time, it's okay. You'll figure it out. Follow your self-respect. Follow the fire inside. And the fire inside is the fire of your own love. It's the fire of your own truth. It's the fire not that's combative and confrontational and needs to burn everybody up around you. It's the pure fire of your spirit. Follow that fire in Aries season. And don't be afraid to admit when you're wrong. If you get gripped on what other people are about, you're probably going to be wrong about it. If you're like, you're doing this and I need to prove it to you and I need you to change, this is how. I don't know. I just don't see you having a lot of luck trying to get other people to be how you want them in Aries season. I think that this is really the time that you need to be focusing on you. And it's not that you're wrong about like maybe needing to be treated a different way. It's that you don't know what other people's motivations or needs are. And if their motivations and needs lead them to be a kind of way that doesn't work for you, then you need to change. Exit the situation. Change your tactic. I'm saying that and like holding the weight of oppression, you know, and it's like, I don't want to say things that are going to be taken by people in this way where it's always on the people who are abused and oppressed to change. To be the ones, right, who change. It's like the people who promote and perpetuate violence also need to fucking change. And if you live in a body or if we live in a world where people need to fucking change, like we do need to fight about it. We do need to rise up, to lift our voices, to call for an end of something. But, you know, we can't use the master's tools. Right? Like we can't allow ourselves to be overcome by the need to control other people. That's the harm. And so if people aren't changing, if people are continuing to be destructive, there might need to be a change in approach or behavior. And maybe that's, you know, something that's happening collectively around this time. But it's about creating our own futures right now. We can't wait for like the governments to get it together. We can't wait for like dictatorial despots to realize that killing people and whatever is like hurting them too. Like it's not, yeah. So the feeling right now that I'm getting in your chart is you need to be listening to your own guidance and listening to your own truth. And the Aries season is a time to really, really deeply listen. Whenever we're working with eclipses, we want to be in a very active listening space and attunement space so that we can align with the energetic openings as they manifest and so that we can realize when patterns emerge. That's the space that you want to be in, receptive, listening, allowing for life to lead you in the next directions. And if you get caught up in internal banter where you're trying to force something to happen, and especially if there's any idea that you're going to force anybody else to be or do anything at all, I'm just going to say that that's working against your own evolutionary force right now. And this is the time to really tune in with where you need to be going for you. And if that means that other people aren't with you on this path, then other people aren't with you on this path. I did talk quite a bit in your year ahead reading about discernment and how to find your people. And there is a feeling in this period of time that not everybody is your people. And some people really are your people. And Aries season is a point of discernment around what kind of energy is appropriate for you to fuck with, you know, to give your time, energy, attention, money, resources, labor, and love to. April 11th, the inferior conjunction of Mercury and the Sun occurs, Mercury Kazemi in your sign. And over the course of the next week, Mercury is moving into contact with Venus as Venus is moving into contact with the North Node. And so my feeling here is that your self-love needs to be really strong right now, and that's the place to focus. Focus on building your sense of bodily sovereignty, spiritual sovereignty. That doesn't mean you're not totally implicitly connected with everything around you. Feeling the connections that you have with life actually helps you cultivate your sense of sovereignty. You are not enmeshed with other people in ways that won't allow for your own consciousness to emerge. You don't want to be enmeshed in that way. If relationships require you to abandon yourself, they are not the right relationships for you to be in. And that's relationships on all levels, interpersonal, institutional, ideological, familial, lovers, friends, coworkers, etc. All right, I'm going to leave it there for Aries season. And then in the rest of your year ahead, I'm going to go through the exciting roller coaster of a time that we have coming up post Aries season in 2024. The last thing that I will say for Aries season is that the eclipses that we're in also sandwich, Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde sandwiches a really important astrological event on the first day of Taurus season, which is the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus. And so the eclipses are leading up to this. Mercury retrograde is kind of sandwiching it. This conjunction in your chart really signifies a kind of deep awakening around your values. And this means your personal sense of value and self-confidence, as well as your values. There may also be implications here to your actual possessions or material valuables. But this is a period of time that I think is radically trying to awaken you to what is most valuable. And I'm going to say that what is most valuable for you at this time is your sense of self-regard. It is the ability to work really effectively and brilliantly with yourself, with your ego, with your consciousness, as your ego and consciousness is evolving and in relationship. And you really want to honor the life force that moves through you right now. You don't want to thwart that life force with misuse of your own potentiality and energy. And that comes most extremely when you allow yourself to get caught up in bullshit and fuckery with other people. The misuse of your own energy comes most profoundly when you get caught up in petty conflicts, arguments, competition, trying to please and appease people who will never be pleased. Don't invest anymore in that direction. Invest in the direction of what you know to be the most satisfying and real for your spirit and your soul at this time. Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Putowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited four facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.